Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. And boy, do we have a doozy coming today.
Yep, I think that today sets a record for the most interviewees in different locations on a single podcast.
We're talking to Katie Lee, the voice of Connie, Andre Stoica, voice of Wit, Townsend Coleman, voice of Jason, and Greg Jabara, voice of Wilson.
It's an all-star cast, and they are also the all-star cast featured in this month's club adventure titled A Simple Reminder.
You know, this episode is a milestone for Odyssey. How? Well, good question, Jesse. It's the first episode ever released that was recorded entirely remotely with all the actors in their homes instead of together in one studio.
That's right. And to be clear, it's the first episode released, though another episode titled Unrelatable was recorded the same way a few weeks before. We'll be talking about that episode closer to its release as part of Album 70.
But now, let's talk to the cast of A Simple Reminder about this unique episode that was recorded in a very unique way.
Well, assuming that our technology is working properly, we should have on the line with us Katie, Andre, Townsend, and Greg. Are you all there?
Yep.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys look great.
Wonderful. Well, since we've got all of your attention right now, we're going to start out with something that we call our
TRQ.
That's totally random question. And we're going to get a chance to hear from each of you in turn. This is from Natalie Dean, who wants to know, what is your favorite candy? So who's comes immediately to mind? Who can answer first?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
All right, Greg. That's Greg Jabara. And
English toffee, the best.
That's Andre.
Okay, and I've got one. Actually, it's English toffee also. However, it's English toffee that I make.
Wow. Oh. Townsend.
All right. Bring that to the studio. There we go.
Oh, my goodness. I like candy corn.
All right. So you're an autumn candy fan.
Uh-huh. That's
and you right. never have to share with anybody.
You know what? That's true. I like dark chocolate. And even when I was in middle school, I was on a bowling league, you know, and you'd get your candy from the vending machines and everybody wanted to share. And I would get those special dark bars and people would go, ew. I get it all to myself.
So, Greg, I have to ask you, because they've been tinkering. I've seen commercials on TV with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. They're doing different things with Reese's. Are you into all the different variations on it, or are you a traditional?
Well, my thing really is like dark chocolate with peanut butter. That would be my favorite combination. I actually don't eat Reese's Peanut Butter Cups anymore because since hiring a nutritionist 2 years ago, they're no longer in my food regimen. But I think I probably turn the TV off when I see the commercials. I just turn them off because I don't want to start weeping, you know, silently in front of the TV.
What's this podcast about again?
Well, I think we need to get back into that. But yeah.
Hey, Jesse, don't you have a question?
I do.
It's the candy podcast.
Exactly. If you guys are ever at Focus, you know, again.
Natalie Dean, we'll blame her for bringing us into this.
Exactly,
place.
The whole candy thing. But, you know, it's so cool.
Thank you for the question, Natalie.
Yeah, talking to the smorgasbord of Odyssey All-Stars about a cornucopia of delicious candy. But that's not the podcast. Townsend, we want to start with you about the real podcast topic, which you've been pitching this idea to the Odyssey team about an internet-based recording software called IPDTL for years. You know, and we've never used it for a show before because, of course, we recorded everything in person. That changed. So tell us how you got started using this program.
Well, I've been working from home, doing my voiceover stuff from home for quite a few years now. I used to have a technology called ISDN, which is a way of hooking two studios together over phone lines. It's old, ancient technology by today's standards, and it also got very expensive. So I was looking for a replacement for the ISDN lines. So I switched over to IPDTL and have become such a fan of it that I started telling all my voiceover friends about it, and we've built quite a nice-sized community around IPDTL.
In terms of the things it could do, Townsend, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that what you used when we were on the cruise?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So it allows me I can work over Wi-Fi from pretty much anywhere. I voice the promos for Live with Kelly and Ryan every day from home. And so I was able to do my work daily from the cruise ship, which was pretty nuts. I had done it remotely from my daughter's house up in the Bay Area, my son's house in Denver, but I'd never tried it from a cruise ship before, and it worked brilliantly.
That's fantastic. So when the world kind of changed a bit in the spring of 2020, and we had to start recording episodes remotely, I want to know from all of you, what was your reaction of learning that, well, we would be recording these episodes in your home instead of coming to the studio? Was there any anxiety, relief, excitement, questions? What was the feeling?
I was excited.
I was excited, too. But, I've been operating out of my studio for so long that I kind of miss the sessions because I get to see my friends. And when I'm recording at home, which is all the time, you never see anybody. You hear voices from other people. And even with this system, we have a chance to talk to each other informally. But there's nothing like a personal meeting, and I miss that. The whole business has changed that way.
No kidding.
I knew about IPDTL, too. And maybe I didn't tell you about it, Townsend, and maybe somebody else did, but I've been excited about it for a long time, too. So I just think it was great that we could keep the momentum. Not that I don't miss everybody, but it was great to be able to still work.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited about it simply from the fact that I had been using it for a number of years already and had told you guys about it and suggested that if you're ever in a pinch and you need to record somebody remotely like this, it really works well. And so the opportunity when it arose back at the beginning of the year with the whole pandemic, I was thrilled. I mean, really excited to be able to try getting all four actors online at the same time and being able to hear each other and interact with each other was huge. Yeah. So Andre, you're right. I mean, cause I work from home also and it's great because it's super efficient, real convenient, but boy, is it isolating. And yeah, you want to get out to see other people. So I really relished getting those calls for a session of Adventures in Odyssey to be able to go over to Salami Studios in North Hollywood and be able to see everybody. Those were great. And you know, boy, I really miss that now. But at least having this technology in our back pocket to be able to still continue to produce shows together like this, I just think it's fantastic.
It's amazing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing you guys are like me. I'm an audible type person. So even though I don't get to see you face to face, just the fact that we're talking with each other is fine. It's good. We're connected. We're not doing these separately, in other words. So it's nice to be able to hear each other.
I'm sitting here sweating bullets because I'm realizing we have three different Wi-Fis in the house. And I'm watching my signal drop out, and I'm realizing I'm connected to it auto-connected to the most weak of the three Wi-Fis in my house. So I'm sitting here going, we're going to recreate a scene from the episode.
Greg, come back, Greg.
Yeah, like right now, I'm literally down to one red star.
Soup art. What came first?
I know, right?
Well, of course, the first time we do anything technologically different, it's going to be a case of trial and error. Before recording, each of you worked with sound designer Christopher Deal to make sure your home setup was ready to go. What sort of adjustments did you need to make? Was it hard?
Getting everyone else off the internet at the same time. Like my wife uses, she uses video cam for her practice. And then my kid, you know, is on every video game, you know. So to really go, hey, we have to block this time, which is right now. But my kid said, Dad, I'm not on, Dad. And I'm realizing it's now Wi-Fi. So, you know, I without the list that you guys are so great about giving us about check all these things first, I just turned it on this time and that look, I'm getting what I, you know, deserve. Weakness of signal.
Well, it's all about creating those relationships and the awesome dynamic of Odyssey, which, again, we've talked about this on the podcast, how Odyssey, we do normally record all together in the same room. Through IPDTL, we're able to record at the same time. You just can't see each other. So how did you create that camaraderie that you normally get by being in the same room, although you all were in your own individual studios?
Oh, I mean, it's funny, though. You know, you have a relationship with people. I mean, we're the Odyssey actors are like a family at this point. We've been together for so many years. And so you can take us apart and stick us in a room, and we relate to each other just through our voices because we carry the images of the past with us.
Yeah, we know who we are, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
exactly. That's not hard.
I can visualize Katie's face right. When she's speaking.
Right. And see, what Andre is saying, I mean, it's like what Katie was saying. You know, we're audible people. We're, you know, audio-minded, so... For me, because I work solo in my studio all day, but talking to people on the other end of the line, it's not unusual. I mean, I feel as though I'm nearly as close to you guys right now, chatting with you, rubbing elbows with you, even though we're miles and miles apart. So for me, it's just, you know, as voice actors, I think we're always about using our imaginations anyway. So this just, you know, serves right into it.
Mm-hmm. I have headshots for every single one of you taped up in this closet. With your names.
That's right. I bring pictures of you all up on my computer screen.
I mean, I suppose if we didn't know each other, it would be a little, it still wouldn't be that hard because this is what we do.
Yeah.
When we're working in the studio... I mean, it's great. What's great about really good voice actors is when they make eye contact with each other when we're working. But I think the others would agree that sometimes you're working with people with the, you know, standing around microphones, and half the time they don't look at you anyway.
Right.
They're looking at their script.
Well, a show like A Simple Reminder, with the comic timing, I would think would be very important. I think in the post-production, they were able to work with some of that. But how about when you were playing off of one another with some of the sound delay that could happen? Did you run into problems with that?
That's true. I was so impressed when I heard the show, how well it sounded
Me
put
too.
Together.
Yeah. Really tight. I went, I don't remember that session.
We knew there was delay. We kind of have to anticipate it, understanding the medium that we're working with and the technology. We just have to hold that thought for a second so we can respond properly. But it's just a like split second, half a second, something like that. But yeah, whoever edited it did an amazing job.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, Luc Guinot did the voice edit, and he did a terrific job.
Excellent.
Really phenomenal.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between working with a director you can actually see through the glass and one that you can only hear through your headphones?
Well, for me, there's no difference because in the studio, I don't have my glasses on anyway. So if I'm looking up at Dave Arnold or somebody in the control room, I couldn't see him anyway.
We don't have to pretend not looking at them.
But it is nice, you know, to be able to just see them smiling or everyone in the room looking at each other, nodding their head, going, oh, good, I've achieved what they hoped, you know, to accomplish.
Well, particularly on a comedy, you know, some of the laugh lines you do, and you just look into the booth to see, because there are sometimes some extra people in there, and you're looking to see whether they're responding to what you do. And it's kind of like having a small audience. It helps sometimes. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm. In this case, I think we were our own audience. You guys don't hear the laughing we did at each other because that got cut out.
Well, something else that our fans don't have an opportunity to see is what your home studios look like. Now, we did do something in the club where you guys sent pictures and we were able to kind of put snapshots in there to give an indication of what it would look like. But can you describe your working environment when you're recording from home?
I'm staring at my sock and underwear drawer.
There you go. That's about like mine, because I'm literally in my walk-in closet. Which is sort of a quarter of it is my studio and the rest of it is still my walk-in closet. So I've got all my shoes up here on a shelf. I've got all my clothes hanging over there. I do have a filing cabinet behind me. But other than that, it does not look like what you would think a professional recording studio would look like. But
do you put dampening material in there, Townsend, or do you have enough clothing?
Yeah, they're called slacks and shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have an actual studio in my house. We built it when we moved here years ago, and it has its own, not a separate air conditioning unit, but it's got air conditioning designed for studio. And it's a small, oversized closet that's carpeted, has soundproofing on the ceiling and all the walls, and has a mixing panel, computer screen, microphone, and copy stand. So, and a rack full of equipment that mostly I don't use.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I can say that if this voiceover thing works out for me, I'm getting a studio like yours.
Well, I used to work in a closet in my house, and then I moved to the back house. So I have, it's a 4x4. It looks like a big telephone booth. It used to belong to Jib Jab, if anybody knows Jib Jab.
Yeah.
So they were selling their booth, and I bought it from them. And it's not a super high quality one, but it's good enough. We built a shelf in here and dropped a ceiling, and you know, I got it stuff in here to make it quiet. And if you see the picture,
Still have the payphone on the wall?
Yeah, I wish. I can picture Townsend because I've been to his house, so I know where he's working. I can see him in my mind. I haven't been to Andre's or Greg's. So, yeah, the other part about seeing each other, I know where he is, so I can picture that when we're working. But, yeah, it's you really don't want to have parallel walls if you can help it. So we kind of try to put stuff up to make the sound a little more damp. But if you see the picture of my studio, you see I have that Connie head from one of the magazine cover I was on. So I have her in my booth, so mm-hmm. I don't feel quite alone.
Yeah, we have that picture.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So can you give any advice to someone who might be wanting to set up their own home studio like today?
Really, the important thing is a quiet space.
Yeah, yeah. The acoustics are important. My own particular taste in a studio is that I like a completely dead room. I don't like any acoustics at all. Mm. And believe me, life will introduce acoustics whenever you don't need them. So, you fill in the corners and make sure that there's no place for the sound to swim.
I wish I had your air conditioning, Andre. That would
Amen.
Be
That is important. You want to be comfortable in your studio.
But as far as, you know, starting, right. I mean, Townie and I have a friend who works full-time voiceover. He has a US mic that plugs into his computer and is cranking out stuff all day long. As long as you have a quiet space and he got a, you know, you start out with whatever you can afford and then,
sure.
you know, work your way up. You know, hopefully, you know, you learn how to use their software for recording yourself, which is free. Audacity, a lot of people use Audacity. Mm-hmm. It's a free software program. It's not hard to use. It's like almost like typing, you know, a letter. They're cut and paste. And it's a wonderful thing. So many people are able to record from home these days, and there's nothing really to stop anybody from, you know, it's not easy to get into the business, but it's not hard to record yourself.
So true. Yep.
Well, we've talked a lot about the technology for this session. Let's get into the story itself. This episode, which was written by Phil Lawler, gave each of you a chance to play a different character than you usually do. Tell us about those characters and how you came up with the voices for them.
You know, it's funny, like any character that you do, you really read the script first and you get a sense of the character and then it just comes over you, at least comes over me. And I think of a couple of different ways that would be, I think, good. And you try them out and see whether the producer agrees.
Right. And for me, this particular character, Lou Siffer, Phil just wanted, you know, sort of an over the top, but real friendly guy, who could sort of turn dark and evil at the end. And we were certainly doing real over the top caricatures, of characters.
Think?
Well, Which is what makes it fun, because at least for me, because I don't often get a chance to do that. You know, I'm always doing Jason, who's, you know, or for the most part, doing Jason, who's just pretty straight ahead. And, you know, just it's just me. It's just my voice talking. So, you know, to get a chance to do Lucifer, you know, well, that was some fun.
The singing vegetables, Phil had a great image. There was some reference, I remember. And he also did an example of the kind of where he wanted it pitched. So it was a very large choice and made me happy. I said, yeah, I'll go there. But what do I remember? There was a lyric, never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, never, that there were so many evers together. I couldn't say it. I couldn't sing this one. You're never, ever, ever, never, 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 something. And I, after listening to it, we were playing it back just to refresh for this gathering here, I just went, oh, that's right. That took about 3,000 takes for me to be able to get that thing where we had a version that we could use.
And you've won a Tony Award. Can you imagine what it would have been like for anybody else?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the challenges. Who knew? The word ever, ever, never, ever, never. Tongue tire.
We know we learned a lot on our end through this process. And anytime you try something for the first time, there is a learning curve. So what did each of you learn about recording an Odyssey episode in this way?
I learned that it could work. I love it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's not perfect technology. I don't think there is such a thing. But given what other choices aren't out there, it works really, really well, and is only going to get better over time as, you know, our computers get faster and internet gets more stable. And so, and don't forget, too, that during this pandemic, everybody is online using the internet. It's amazing to me that the internet, you know, hasn't come crashing down yet.
There's no perfect technology, just perfect actors.
well put.
That seems
like. I remember
like
that being. Yeah, I like that. It's a nice transition for that.
I was going to say that just sounds like a nice place to wrap up this podcast with each of you, perfect actors that really came together to create a really, really fun and funny show. So thank you so much for your time today and to be part of the podcast.
Amen.
Thanks.
Me too.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, what an adventure recording that adventure. And what's cool is listeners hearing the show will have no idea how different it was from recording a normal episode.
Oh, that's the idea. You can hear A Simple Reminder in the club starting September 1st. Let's hear a preview.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Once upon a time in the land of yore, there lived an elderly landowner named O. McRonald.
Pastor Knox has a story to tell.
He had a daughter named Priscilla.
I'm leaving you in charge of the farm.
This farm will really be producing fruit.
Well, lather my hands and call me Soapy Eli O. McRonald's daughter.
And you are?
Cipher. Lucifer.
Listen this month only on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at adventuresinodyssey.com. Join the club at aioclub.org or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.